Hallelujah. It's good to be in the house of the Lord.
Amen.
It's good to be under the influence of the anointing of the Spirit of God.
Amen.
Amen. That's what the church needs. That's the answer for the church and the answer for the world. The Spirit of Almighty God. The Spirit of Almighty God. If you would, take your Bibles. Say, this is life. I will honor it today. As this word brings life to my spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. I want you to turn to Philippians, please. Chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2. Praise and worship was awesome this morning, guys.
Amen.
I really thought, I said, Lord, I don't know if I'll be able to preach this morning. But you see, it's important. You might say, well, everything's important. Worship is important to God. The word going forth, because you see, is the word that keeps us from deception. It keeps us in the truth. That's why God requires pastors that stand behind a pulpit that things than the regular people. And I'm not saying because we're better, but because of the responsibility of leading people into the kingdom of God. And I am responsible for everything that comes from this pulpit. You know, the most important place in a church is not the bathrooms, which is important. It's not the chairs, which that's important, you know, because we want comfortable chairs. It's not the AC or the heat. That's important, though, you know. I wouldn't want to sit on hay bales because you never know what's in it. And on hot days, I don't want to come to church with no AC. And on cold days, no heat. All those things are important, and God wants us to have those things. But I tell you, the most important place in any church is the pulpit.
Yes.
Because that from the pulpit, what is preached, will lead the people into freedom or captivity.
Yes.
You might say in the house of the Lord. Well, not every church is the house of the Lord. Not everyone. Just because they have church on the outside or it looks like a church or whatever it is, doesn't mean. Has it been ordained by God? Has it been anointed by God? You see, sometimes, and I know you're going to say yes to this, but why you hear gospel songs, and it could be old songs, new songs, whatever it is, and some of the songs, it's good, you know, okay, Lord, thank you. And in some of the songs, hit your spirit on the inside, anointed by God. That means when you have a song that touches your heart, I mean, you feel the presence of the Lord. You know what that means? That the third head of the Trinity, the Godhead, the Holy Spirit, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy, approves of that song. Not every song that comes through all these stations we have been approved by God. And the reason the way to test, because God says test the spirit. Ooh. Because he knows even in the house of the Lord, evil spirits or whatever will try to come in and deceive the people. That's why we got to know the word. We got to know what it says. We got to know, we got to stand firm in that word. You know, you go to some churches and my Lord, you can't find a Bible. Now, I'm not saying, you know, people have it on their phone, but you can't find a Bible. That's a shame. That's where they should have the most Bibles, in the hands of the believer, making sure what's coming forth from the pulpit is right.
Yes, yes,
be careful about what you see on television.
Yes.
My Lord. Today I was kind of flipping through. You know, you have all the gospel channels on Dish. They have a bunch of them. And I was flipping through. And I stopped on one and I said, oh my God, look at this. Not good. Not good. Not good. And I said, oh, Father, forgive us. Forgive us. But you see, we need the Spirit of God upon the church. Because it's the Spirit of the Lord that will convict people. It's the Spirit of God that will change people. It's not what man can come up with. It's not what man can say. It's what man says under the Spirit and the anointing and the presence of Almighty God. That's what makes the difference. That is what's the difference. I was hearing, there was a guy talking, and he was saying, why, you know, when there was a certain religion that he belonged to, and he said, why, you know, when we sing these songs, there's no anointing in it. But when I go and I hear, and he named the man or whoever it was, sings that song, the same song, why do I feel the anointing in the presence of Almighty God? It's because of where we put our faith and who we put our faith in. And the anointing of God will flow at will within the hearts and lives of the people. You see, it's the Word of God and the Spirit of God that can change a person's heart, a person's life, and lead them in the right direction. She's just saying amen. She's my best cheerleader almost. Every Sunday, I hear her say amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. But in Philippians chapter 2, look at starting with verse 8. Page 2074. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also has highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee shall bow, in things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Praise God. And being found in fashion as a man, you know, the Father knew that the only redemption for mankind would have to come through His Son. That was the only redemption. They tried it for hundreds, thousands of years of having bulls killed and the slaying of animals, and it did not take away sin. The only thing He knew had to be someone that would come in the image of man, but yet without sin, that could be given His blood back to the Father, and He would accept it as a payment for all humanity from the past, present, and the future. It says Jesus was humbled. It's an amazing thing. The King of Kings and the Lord of Lords came as a man, but yet He was humble. And look, I'll read some things in the New Testament where our God was not light with words. But yet the Scripture says He was a humble man before God. Humble before Him. We need the Spirit of God upon our churches. We need the Spirit of God upon our pastors. We need the Spirit of God upon the evangelists. We need the Spirit of God to move like we've never seen before. Look, the best days of the church are ahead of us. I know we may be thinking, let me tell you, the devil wants you to think that everything is lost and everything is gone. But let me tell you this, how many times have you read in the Scriptures where God came back to the children of Israel and rescued them? Rescued them and said, turn from your idle ways. Turn from your evil ways. And look to me, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. There's hope for the church. God said in the last days that He would pour out His Spirit upon all flesh. And let me tell you, I'm looking forward. I've read about how God moved in the early 1900s. I want to see it. I want to see. God says we would do greater things than what His Son had done. Well, I mean, how much greater can you get about But he was talking about just miracles and stuff like that. We want to see greater things. The greater things. The greater things. We want to see those things. We want to see it happen. We want the power of God to move upon the church. And it will come as Jesus, he's our example. What did he do? He humbled himself. Let me tell you this. God is very, I can't say upset, but he does not like it. People that are prideful and arrogant. And he sure can't stand it in the pulpit either. Pride and arrogance will get you to your downfall. God is looking for people that, now, hey, let me tell you, that pride and arrogance, we can't take it out of us. Only the Spirit of God can do it. As we humble ourselves before God and we go to him and we ask him to transform us and make us into the image of his Son, that the Spirit of God will move upon us. We have to humble ourselves. Every time God talked about healing of the nation, what did they have to do? They had to humble themselves. Every time a move of God came upon the church world, what they had to do is humble themselves before God. Humble themselves before God. Remember when Jesus, they were talking about, he was with his disciples. And after they walked a while, you know, it was a tradition that people would wash their feet. And nobody wanted to get... Because, you know, when you're walking in those parts of that land, everything's on the road, you know. I mean, we kind of keep our streets clean. You know, might have a few potholes here or there and whatever. But all kinds of things were on the road. And all of a sudden it says that Jesus, no one got up to wash any of the people's feet. Because they all thought they were better than each other. That's how a few disciples could go, even the mother of John and them, to say, hey, can my son sit on either side of you in the heavens? That's arrogance, people. But it says Jesus got up and he took that towel and he took that basin of water and he went to every one of them and said, I'm going to wash your feet. The King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Every one of those disciples should have jumped up and said, oh no, oh no. We will wash your feet. And if you want us to wash your hair, we'll do that too. You know. But he got down. The King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Now that doesn't mean that we have to wash each other's feet. That doesn't even. We have to be willing to do it. We got to be willing to lay down our lives for our brothers and our sisters. We got to be willing to love and to do the things that are need to be done. Jesus humbled himself. And people, we have to humble ourselves before God. And God will give us the tenacity. He will give us the standard. He will give us the strength to stand up and do what he says to do. It's not easy to stand up in the face of evil and do what is right. And do what is right. In Joshua chapter 1, verse 9, it says, he commands us, be strong and of good courage. Be not afraid. Be strong and of good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee, whithersoever thou goest. Look, Jesus is the head of the church. Not the headquarters of all these religions. And there's nothing wrong. And let me tell you, don't get mad at me. I'm not against, if you want to say organized religion, if it follows the Spirit of God. You have to follow the Spirit of the Lord. You have to follow the Spirit of God. He knows what is best for each church. He knows what is best for each pastor. He knows what is best that needs to go on, because no church is the same. You can have two of the same churches in a city and they're not the same. God knows what needs to happen. And you see, we've gotten away from saying, okay, now, Lord, what do you want, to let me do what I think. Now, when God puts his He speaks to us and shows us things that's different. We follow those things. We got to stand firm and follow the Spirit of the Lord. Now, let me tell you this. The Spirit of God will always be go alongside with the Word. If you feel God has spoken to you something and it doesn't follow that word and in not taking it out of context either, okay? Because the devil does that. Because when he was quoting the scriptures back to the Lord, he left out a part. And he didn't even go to the next scripture that condemns him. He's smart, but he's not smarter than the Holy Spirit. He's not smarter than your God. And let me tell you, if we will humble ourselves and seek the Lord and let God move like he wants to move, I tell you what, he will do the miraculous. He will flow at will within your heart and life. He will lift up that spirit of heaviness. He will give us direction. He will give us victory. That doesn't mean it will come easy. That doesn't mean it won't come with something trying to stop us, because the enemy does not want you and I to follow the Spirit of God. But let me tell you this, we know who has won. And we know who will win. The church will win, because Jesus Christ is the Lord of the church and the Lord of the people's lives, as we put our faith and trust in him. It says Jesus died on the cross. And you know what? When he died, the enemy thought they had won. The enemy thought they had won. Man didn't take his life. The devil didn't kill him either. Jesus laid down his life for the church. Who has laid down their lives for you today? Anybody? No. I know one man who did. His name is Jesus Christ. And he did it because of John 3:16. He loves us. He loves us. And he wants to see great things happen in us and through us for the gospel's sake. The power of Almighty God. 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 Let me tell you this. Let me tell you, this last year of this COVID stuff, it has hurt the church. Yeah. I'm telling you. And let me tell you, that thing, you know, the spirit of it. Hey, look, I was sick. I know how it is. Whoever else. We know. But the spirit of it has tried to destroy the church. Destroy the people. Destroy families. Destroying churches. Yeah. Pastors. But let me tell you this. Every time the enemy comes in like a flood, it says God lifts up the standard and says, no more. He can only do what God allows him to do. And let me tell you this. It says in the last days that he's going to pour out his spirit upon all flesh. All flesh, if we allow him to. It's going to take us to humble ourselves at our homes. It's going to take us to humble ourselves on our jobs. It's going to take us to humble ourselves in our churches, that God's spirit can move like he wants to move, and we will allow the anointing and the presence of Almighty God that no one can buy, but the Spirit of God will be poured out, and we will see things happen that we've never seen before. Amen. My Lord, he's going to usher in people that have been laid back. He's going to usher in people that used to go to church, but are not there anymore for all kinds of reasons. And they have legitimate reasons. I'm not trying to downplay that. But I know what the word says about gathering together. And any time a law is passed and it's directly against the word, we follow the word. No matter what. No matter what. God commissioned Moses to build the Ark of the Covenant, a box. And we know the things that are in it, that they put, the laws, the Ten Commandments, Aaron's rod that budded, still budded, and a jar of manna. They were to put that ark of the covenant, which God commanded to be built, because his glory was in it. Every time the glory of God is poured out upon an individual or a church or a family, there's life. Yes. Who ever heard of a staff, you know, budding that's not attached to the root? Who ever heard of a jar of manna staying good for 70, 80 years? You know, a long time. Who ever heard of that? But when the glory of God is there, things change. And it says, Israelites, they serve God one day, and I'll say this, the next day they didn't. One day they serve, what I mean is years would go by, but they would go to the wayside. God had that ark that they could see it, that they could go and see it, the glory of God, where they could know that it was in that Holy of Holies, in that place, the ark there. But yet, at times they would lose it and it would go to other countries. And we know this, that wherever that ark went, if it wasn't in the territory of the Israelites, in there, it would bring all kinds of evil. You can read it in Samuel. Evil, sores, all kinds of stuff, you see. But it says that one day they brought it back, and I think it was Abinadab, had it, and all of a sudden it says the ark was in the field with grass growing all over it next to the woods. In Psalms, they have a scripture there. The glory of God had been forsaken by the whole world, by his chosen people. Wow. Let's not forsake the glory of the Lord. Let's not forsake God and run after other things. I've often prayed, Lord, keep my heart towards you. Keep my heart towards you. Let me tell you, the devil will try to have you have a divided heart, that you trust God a little bit, but then you trust yourself a little bit. Don't have a divided heart. Trust him with all things, and he will lead and guide. And all of a sudden, when David became king, it says that David said, okay, which God appointed David, King David, to be king. He said, I got to go for the ark. And he went and looked up scriptures to find out where it was. He went and looked to find with the prophets, where is this ark? Where is it? God knew that the appointed time when David came into office, that he would be the one to bring it back. Now, I know at first he didn't bring it back right, but he was bringing it back and found it. Can you imagine the glory of God, in this box that was made by, commissioned by God, was just in the wilderness, grass growing in it. It wasn't kept up. See, that's kind of a picture of the church when they don't ask the Lord to move, or they don't seek the Lord in what God wants. It's like they're saying, the ark, get out of here. Let us do our own thing. But then we get in trouble. We need the Spirit of God. You and I need the Spirit of God in our churches, in our families, in our homes, so that God can move like he wants to move. The power of Almighty God. See, God has commissioned each and every one of us. Don't ever think you're just here just to be here. God has a purpose for you. The devil will try to tell you you're worthless. You're just taking up space. Let me tell you, that's from the pit of hell, because he knows when you rise up early in the morning, or you stay up late, or you get up during the night and you start to pray and seek God, that you're devouring and destroying the works of the enemy. And the devil doesn't like it, but God loves it. We need more. I said, Lord, raise up more prayer warriors in our church. Raise up people that we can take the land for you, Lord. We can take the land. And what I mean by land, I mean souls for the kingdom of God. And to get them in the right place, to believe the right thing, to look to God for their lives, that God could move as we trust in what Christ did at Calvary's cross. The power of Almighty God. What God can do. We need the glory of the Father poured out upon us like we've never seen before. The church at the beginning, when Jesus died on the cross, people, do you realize when he died, those disciples were at a loss. They thought, he's come. He's going to reign. And he kept telling them, I'm going to die. You know, he kept telling them, but I'm going to resurrect in 3 days. He kept telling them throughout the scriptures. But they just didn't want to believe it. And when Jesus actually died on the cross, all their hope left. They were a people without a leader anymore. And they just were discouraged. They went everywhere, not knowing what to do. But God took care of it. I want to read this to you. Look in Matthew chapter 28. Matthew 28, verse 16 and 17. Let me tell you this. There's always hope in our God. There's hope in the body of Christ. Matthew 28, verse 16. Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him. Page 1710, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Now, let me tell you this. You might say, well, what does that have to do with? That was after his resurrection, okay? That was during the time when they were scattered. They didn't know what they were going to do, where they were going to go. It's like, and the enemy was saying, you followed this guy, look where you're at now. They're coming for you now. They're coming to kill you and hang you on the cross. You know, we think with these 12 disciples, we know one flipped out and sold them for 30 pieces of silver and all that stuff, and Matthias came in. But let me tell you, they were human beings just like us. And actually, we were better off than them today because we have the Holy Spirit. Every one of us has God in us, the Spirit of God in us. And these 12 disciples, plus there was probably other people, they say in the comment, he met with them because you know why? They needed help. You see? They needed help. And how many times have we called out for help? Let me tell you, our God will help us. God is in the business of taking control of the church. God is in the business of making sure people's lives are not destroyed. God is in the business of taking care of those things. The enemy's out there ready to destroy the churches, destroy the pastors, destroy the people. But God says he's come to give us life and to have it more abundantly. Even when the church was going downhill, because that was the church at that time, the devil thought he won. Oh, my God. Never again to worry about those people. But he didn't realize when Jesus died on the cross, and the blood was presented to the Father, that it was blood that would cover the sins of the church from the past, the present, and the future. That you and I can now come to the Father and say, Father, forgive me. I accept your Son as my Savior. My God, giving us freedom and liberty. And look, because of the death of Jesus Christ, because of what he did, millions upon millions upon millions upon millions, millions and millions upon millions have come to the cross of Calvary and have given their hearts and lives to Christ. And now they can enter in to the heavens when they pass away or when Jesus comes for the church. My God. And let me tell you, he'll try to destroy whatever he can destroy. Just like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and Daniel. My God, these Hebrew boys That means they weren't of age. And they became men. They stayed there many years. These three guys and Daniel were brought over because of captivity. They lost the battle. They brought them in. When old Nebuchadnezzar built that idol, it's the devil, it's the spirit of the enemy, the devil. Let me tell you, anytime things happen that it's not according to the word, it's of the enemy. Okay? And all of a sudden, the decree went out, you better bow down and worship. People, we have the standard of the word of God. We have the standard of the word. Let it be your standard. When the musical instruments were blown, everyone was supposed to bow down. But because of their heritage, because of what they were taught when they were young, teach your children the word, not religion, the word of God. So that when temptation comes, when the enemy comes in like a flood, that they will stand strong and say, no, that's not what I remember my dad told me from the word, or my mom, or what I learned in children's church or Bible class. That's why the enemy will do everything he can to get you away from this word. Because every time you read a scripture, you are cutting him to pieces. Because it's like a two-edged sword. Get that word in you. Spend some time. Turn off the TV every once in a while. Do what needs to be done. Get that word in you. Those three, when those musical instruments were blown, it says that everybody bowed except those three people. They didn't, and they're looking, saying, okay, what's going to happen? Oh, well, they misunderstood. You see, that's what the devil will do. Maybe they misunderstood. So they did it again, and they didn't bow. They stood up for righteousness and right. Then they took these guys. They heated up the furnace 7 times, hotter. And they threw them in. And even the ones, the guards that threw them in, it was so hot it killed them. And all of a sudden it says they look in and they see a fourth man. See, the only time you're going to see a fourth man with you is when you go through something. They wouldn't have saw the fourth man, which is Jesus, with them, unless they would have stood up. If they would have bowed their knee and their lives to that statue, they never would have known God the way they've known him. See, the church will never know God unless we bow ourselves humbly before him and let him move in our hearts and in our lives. The best days are coming, people. I'm telling you. To the church, to the body of Christ. You might say, well, look at our country. Look at the world. I know that. I know it doesn't look good. But I tell you what, I know the God that's in control. I know the God that's in control of all things. And no matter how the world looks, no matter what happens, if I do what the word says, he will sustain us and do what needs to be done. My God. God says give. God says give. God says give. As we give, God says, as we obey him in tithe and offering, he will open up the windows of heaven. It does not matter what the economy says. It does not matter what it looks like. I mean, we want it all good, huh? But I tell you, we have faith in our God to believe that he is in control. And let me tell you, we've been knowing all that stuff that's happening, if you want to say, in Washington, that's just God letting it come to light. Because if it can stay hidden, That's what the devil wants. Now the church can rise up and pray and come against those things and ask God to raise up men and women that will stand firm for the word of God and change things. And see what God can do. Because the word says if we humble ourselves and seek his face, he will turn the wickedness away. For this last great revival to take place. My God, what a God we serve, people. Look, don't go around in the mully grubs. Don't go around sad. And I'm not talking about when you're working. You know, you can't have a big smile on your face all the time. I mean, you know, you're working and you're trying to do. But don't walk around with your head down, man. Come on, people. Come on. You are the church. Your God died for you. Oh, my God. There's no other religion, if you want to say it that way, because they put Christianity in the seven major religions. There's no other religion where their God came down as a form of a man and died for us. No other! And won the victory. And the Spirit of God that is upon the church, the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Trinity. There's no other religion that has that. You are a privileged people. You have been set forth as privileged because of what we have in our God and who he is. And hey, look, I know every one of us go through stuff. We go through things. But let me tell you, as Shadrach and Meshach went through, that was a horrid thing, people. I know they must have been shaking, but they knew. In here, they could not deny their God. And can you imagine? They were thrown into fiery furnace, and they had fellowship with their God when the fire was the hottest. The miracles of our God as we serve him, and we're expecting great and mighty things because we're trusting him for what he can do. And we're going to see a great and mighty revival of people coming to the Lord like we've never seen before. What the devil meant to destroy the church, God says he will bring it alive. Because you see, you have more people looking to God saying, Lord, help us. That's where he wants us. Lord, help us. Lord, help us. And look, he's saying, okay, I'll come. Okay, you where I want you to be. Do I like the way things? No. But you where I want you to be. We can't trust a man. We can't trust a woman. We got to trust our God. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him and he will make your path straight. Proverbs. Yes. Hallelujah to the King. That's our God, people. We can walk around and saying, hey, my God is in control of things. I may not like it. I don't like what's going on. But my God is in control. And no matter what happens, he will provide for me. Yes, amen. He can still make manna. Wow. Can you imagine if one day you wake up and every Christian home has manna on the ground? Well, a few inches off and didn't get dirty. Oh, my God. Can you imagine the newscast? Well, why you have that in your yard? Hey, let me give you a taste of it. And after you taste that, come sit at my table and I'm going to tell you about my God so you can taste him too. Oh, my God. What we saw in the old, we want to see greater things than ever before in the new. We want to see God like we've never seen him before. We want to see miracles happen in our hearts and in our lives that we've never seen before. And the greatest miracle, let me tell you, the greatest miracle is the souls of people giving their hearts and lives to him. But let me tell you this. Don't get down on what's happening. You just look up and say, Lord, our redemption draweth nigh. And Lord, I'm looking to you, and you're going to see things. You're going to make things happen. You're going to do whatever it takes to keep the gospel moving. Let me tell you, it takes money for the gospel. But let me tell you, and God will keep it flowing. However he wants to do it to get the things done. Amen. Hallelujah to the King. Look to your God. The church might have looked bad back then. God raised it up. It may look bad today, but God's about to raise it up. Raise it up, people, more than what we ever could imagine, as we follow what the Spirit of God says and move in that perfect will. Hallelujah to the King. Amen. Okay, we have about an hour left to go. Y'all ready? No. Okay. Amen. You may stand, please. I want you to put that Philippians 4:7 up, please. Philippians 4:7. This is what I pray for you this week. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen. Philippians 4:7. We need the peace of God upon the church, and the peace of God in our hearts and in our lives. Anxiety will kill you. Burdens will kill you. We give our burdens to the Lord, and we ask Him for the peace of God to transform every one of you, and in my life too, that God's Holy Spirit would be here. Amen. As every head is bowed, every eye closed, please, for just a minute, I want to ask you a very important question. Do you know Jesus? Have you accepted Jesus in your heart and life? If you haven't done so and like to do so, would you please raise your hand so we can pray with you? Amen. As far as I can see, everyone here is saved, but let's pray this prayer together, because we may have somebody watching that needs the Lord. Say, repeat after me. Say, Heavenly Father, I ask you to forgive me of all of my sins. I accept you as my God, my Lord, and my Savior. I believe that you died on the cross and you rose again from the dead, and you're seated at the right hand of the Father. I accept you as my God, that you will lead me and you will guide me. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. You may look this way. Look.